This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
What are the latest updates in terms of the state of the Islamic State in Iraq?
The Islamic State in Iraq is trying to hold on in its central position in the city of Mosul, which is Iraq's second largest city. Islamic State has lost many of its other positions in the past year, including the city of Tikrit, the cities in western Iraq of Ramadi and Fallujah. So in a formal sense of governing an area, Mosul is really the Islamic State's last stand. Now, the offensive to reclaim Mosul, it has made an advance in terms of closing on the city. So it's trying to constrict the Islamic State. That's just the first stage. If the Islamic State choose to fight in Mosul because it's their last key position, this could be a long, drawn-out fight of urban warfare, one in which there are at least several hundred thousand civilians involved because they are effectively trapped or being held in the city with no place to flee at this point. Whether it is a matter of weeks or whether it's a matter of months, it will depend on how much they choose to fight. But I think they will eventually have to leave Mosul, and they will become a much different kind of organization. The dream of a caliphate, of controlling areas of territory and governing them, not only in Iraq but in Syria, that will be gone. And the question for the Islamic State is whether it continues to say we can be a state again, or whether it reverts to being an organization which is primarily carrying out what we would call asymmetric warfare, bombings, ambushes, improvised explosive devices, just to simply cause havoc with the Iraqi government and military.
Can the Islamic State be defeated in Iraq? And if so, what is the likely fate of the militant group?
The Islamic State does not disappear. It may have a new name, it may have a new approach, but it will still try to exploit the sectarian divisions within Iraq. It will try to exploit the frustrations of certain groups that they have been pushed to the side or that they are discriminated against. The future of the Islamic State is bound up with the ability or inability of the Iraqi government to establish legitimacy. If, however, the Iraqi government, as was the case under Prime Minister al-Maliki from 2006 all the way until 2014, that it appears to be favoring, say, for example, the Shia community over the Sunni community, that it appears to be corrupt. If the Iraqi government is in disputes with the Kurdish government over, for example, division of oil revenues, if services don't operate, then the space reopens for the Islamic State to exploit frustrations and to try to say, really, we're the people that you have to turn to for your security and for your livelihood.
Donald Trump has been elected as the next president of the United States. How do you think this will affect the situation in Iraq?
I don't think President-elect Trump has any idea of what he wants to do in Iraq. Indeed, I don't think he even has an idea of what Iraq is. Beyond simply saying, I will bomb the Islamic State, he shows no comprehension of what the political, economic, military situation is. So in that sense, especially before he takes office in January, I think it's more of a question of what local groups do despite President Trump. It's a question of how much success there is in the Mosul operation. It's a question of how much we appear to be on the path back to some type of reconciliation between different groups. If that reconciliation does not occur, if the Islamic State holds out, then I think a president-elect Trump can be a destabilizing factor with his half-formed ideas about what should happen, or alternatively, some sudden declaration that the United States should not be involved at all in Iraq.
Will this affect also the future policies of the U.S., especially the military, in its approach in Iraq?
President Trump has just said in one of his latest interviews, I know more than the generals. I know what is going on. I know how to deal with the Islamic State. But does he go in and try to impose a different approach? He could say, for example, that the U.S. withdraws its special forces. He could say that the United States supports close air support for the Mosul operation. However, if he does that, I think he will face strong opposition from the American military and indeed from related services such as the State Department, because after all, the U.S. has now invested more than 2 years of activity inside Iraq to push back the Islamic State in cooperation with Kurdish groups, in cooperation with the Iraqi military. And that position of the U.S. is not just simply to assist the Iraqi groups. It's also because the United States does not want to leave the area open to other outside actors, specifically the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Moving on to Syria, how do you interpret the latest developments there?
In the case of the Islamic State, IS is losing almost all of its key positions. It now has been reduced to one town called Al-Bab in Aleppo province, and the city, I should say, of Raqqa, and it is under attack in both of those key positions. I think the Islamic State will cease to exist as a force governing territory soon. Whether it's weeks or months, we'll see, but soon. The question then is not just what the Islamic State becomes. It is what groups then move into the territory that the Islamic State held. Because here you have a competition. You have a competition between rebels who are supported by Turkey. You have the foreign militias, the paramilitary groups who are fighting for President Assad and his regime. And you have Kurdish militia. So these groups will probably race to grab territory that the IS has left. And that in turn could lead to further conflicts in what is a multi-sided war inside Syria. You have many different groups that are fighting with each other in Syria, none of whom is a national force, and none of whom will be a national force in the near future.
So now we see Trump has pledged in his policies, he's pledged to work together with Russia, tolerate President Bashar al-Assad in Syria. How will this possibly affect U.S. strategy in Syria and the Middle East in general?
So I'm not so sure that Trump's declaration of friendship for President Putin of Russia, I should say, will mean that much of a difference in the general line of American policy towards the Syrian conflict. The U.S. for years has chosen to pursue a political cooperation with Russia, whether that be initially on trying to get President Assad to give up his chemical weapons, whether that be subsequently for the idea of a political resolution in which, if Russia has its way, President Assad, or at least his regime, will remain in power. So in many respects, when Trump says, I want to work with President Putin, the Obama administration has already been doing that for quite a long time. I think what will happen under a President Trump will be the surface message, which is that the United States really is not concerned about the Assad regime, even though it has killed hundreds of thousands of Syrian people and forced millions to leave their homes. The message will be that the U.S. is concerned primarily, if not solely, with the Islamic State. Of course, that raises the question of, okay, when the Islamic State disappears as a meaningful force in Syria, what does Trump do then? Does he ally with Assad against the Syrian rebels, trying, for example, to crush them in Aleppo City? Does he stand aside? What will he do in the conflict in northern Syria between the Kurdish militia and Turkey? To be honest with you, I don't think Trump has thought through these questions because I don't think he knows very much about Syria. So for now, let's just say that the current U.S. policy of working with Russia on a mythical political resolution, because it will not happen, that at least those broad lines of the U.S. approach will remain the same.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.